Teplog Podcast. Start.
What is up? What is up? Greg Tepper, coming at you live on the third edition of the Tep Blog podcast, and it's great to be back. Broadcasting live from my bedroom in Coppell, Texas. Hope that you guys have enjoyed the blog so far. I think that it's gone pretty well. I think that things are kind of heating up in the journalism world in terms of what I'm doing. The latest edition of HS Game Time, I'm sorry, I almost said High School Game Time, but it's not, it's HS Game Time, just came out today, and my story, which you can read below if you click below this this podcast, the story that I wrote was about the Rockwall Heath program and how they return all 22 starters. All 22 starters, because they are a newer school who didn't have any seniors last year. It's a very interesting, I think it's a very interesting story, kind of a unique situation for this school to be in, and they should improve, because they can't get a whole lot worse. They went 2-8 last year. So they should improve a little bit, and it was a fun story to write. Tam Hollingshead, the coach, was very, very nice. So were all the players. Drew Benefield and Blake Gunderson and Matt Tanner, all very nice, very open to talking to me, so I appreciate that. And it was a good story to write. It was a fun story to write. As far as today goes, been very, very lazy. Very lazy. Woke up at noon, which I think is the American dream, because I woke up at noon and it was just wonderful. I woke up and I watched the TiVo'd version of Rescue Me, the one that I TiVo'd last night, and the season continues to just be perfect. It's amazing. A fantastic show, and again, if you haven't checked it out, I believe next week is the season finale, but you can always tune in. It's going to be fun. It's a party, really. So, that's what's going on. That's what happened this morning. Then I showered, etc., etc. Ate, blah, blah, blah. Got in my car, drove, and got an oil change. Gave the Baron an oil change. And also got the tires rotated, which I know is just so thrilling for you folks to hear. But I did that, then I went to Walmart, had to buy some rechargeable AAA batteries, because really, and if you haven't done this, this is one of the few fiscal, financial tips that I'll throw out there. Buy rechargeable batteries. Go buy a battery charger and buy the rechargeable batteries. It'll cost, for the charger and the batteries, you can usually get a good deal for about $20, and it'll save you hundreds of bucks on batteries. So, that's what I did, because the batteries in my voice recorder that I used to conduct interviews conked out, so I had to do them all my notes longhand this week, which is not fun, because I cannot write very well fast. I can't write very well as it is. My handwriting is terrible, but even when you put the pressure on me, it gets even worse. It just gets to be where a chicken could really outright me at this point, whenever you put me under pressure. So I had to go do that, then I came home, been relaxing, talked to the girlfriend for a little bit, and life is good. I mean, it's 4:50 on a Thursday, and I'm just relaxing, chilling, wearing my new Jared Saltalamacchia jersey. That's Jared Saltalamacchia, JarrodSaltalamacia. I think I got that right. If I didn't, you can all call me on it. But for the record, it's Saltalamacchia, Saltalamacchia. If that doesn't match the first part, then I'm sorry. Anyway, so I'm wearing that jersey, and life is good. Life is very good, and I can't complain. I've got people reading my blog, including Kat Thompson. Another shout-out to you for being the unsolicited fan of the Tep Blog. And yeah, life's good. Life's very good. This week, tonight, actually, in just a few hours, it is 4:50 p.m., by the way, as I'm recording this. It's 4:50 p.m. That's important, because I'm going to be giving my pick for the New Orleans Indy game tonight, and I don't want people to think, oh, well, he watched the game and they recorded it. No, it's 4:50 p.m. You can ask my mom. She's downstairs cooking dinner. Anyway, Now, where was I? Oh, yes. NFL season kicks off tonight. Real regular season football. And I'm very excited. Very excited. I've become more of an NFL fan just recently. Usually the problem is that I haven't had anybody to root for, but now I have a team to root for thanks to all your votes, as I will be rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I might go buy a Priest Holmes jersey. I know Priest Holmes is hurt, and I know he hasn't played in a couple years, but I might just have to go buy a Priest Holmes jersey, namely because they're like $19.99 at this point. So I think it's one of the things where it would be silly for me not to go buy one at this point. Anyway, one thing I need to talk about is, and I don't like talking about them because this is not my team. My team's Kansas City Chiefs. But I need to talk about the Dallas Cowboys for just a couple minutes. Only because a couple weeks ago in the inaugural TEP Blog podcast, I mentioned, I answered a question from Dave C. in a friend of mine who had asked me what I think of the Cowboys this year, what I think about the Cowboys under Wade Phillips, and I said they'd go 10-6. And I would like to take this moment to take that back and to say that they will go 8-8, because I think that they are going to go 8-8. And the reason for the change is the fact that I never realized that their defense really doesn't have anybody on it anymore. Terrence Newman is hurt, who is their number one corner, and they just released their number two corner, Aaron Glenn. So they are going to start relying on people named Nate Jones and Jock. I don't even know what his last name is. Guys that I can't even tell you who they are. These guys are going to be the number one and number two cornerbacks for the Dallas Cowboys. Add that into the fact that they've still got Roy Williams, and Roy Williams is going to eventually, and I know that in the Phillips 3-4, he's going to be up near the line more, blitzing more, doing less coverage and more blitzing. But at the same time, he's still going to have to drop back into coverage eventually, and Roy Williams is probably the worst cover man in the league. He really is. He's terrible. So I think that the run defense is going to be pretty good with DeMarcus Ware and with Brady James, and if Marcus Spears can actually show up, and with Bobby Carpenter, that run defense is going to be pretty good. Pass defense, I think, is going to stink. I think it's going to be terrible. And that offense is going to be pretty, again, and I said before, the offense is going to be pretty good. They got a lot of weapons on that offense. Julius Jones, Marion Barber, Tony Romo, Jason Witten, Patrick Creighton, and then I guess they have another receiver, Terrell something. Anyway, that offense is going to be pretty good. But that pass defense is going to be awful. I really feel like that pass defense is going to be awful. So I've got them at 8-8. If Terrence Newman can come back and be the Terrence Newman of old, then we're going to be, then they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay, then maybe they can get back up to that 10-win plateau. As of right now, I have them at 8-8. So that's all I'm going to say about the Dallas Cowboys for now. And now let's get on to the most fun part of the fact that NFL is back. My NFL picks for the week. And I'm going to go through, believe it or not, I'm going to go through every single one of the games. And I know that you all are so very, very excited about that. But I'm going to go through them pretty quick because there are a lot of them that I don't need to talk about very much. Tonight, New Orleans versus Indianapolis. I like Indianapolis in this only because they are at home. If they were in New Orleans, I would hesitate and say, well, maybe the Saints can pull it off. But I think that because Indy, they're at home, it's the first game at home since winning the Super Bowl, the crowd's going to be fired up. I think Indy's too much for New Orleans. I'll say they beat them 35-31. Denver versus Buffalo. It's in Buffalo, but at the same time, Denver is just a much better team than Buffalo. I've got Denver winning by 2 touchdowns. Pittsburgh versus Cleveland. And I'm going to circle these as I pick them. Pittsburgh versus Cleveland. Look, Cleveland, there's a lot of problems in Cleveland, and Brady Quinn is the least of them. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Philadelphia versus Green Bay. It's in Green Bay. That's tough. Green Bay doesn't get tough to play in until about November, and Brett Favre is approximately 900 years old. I'm going to go with Philly because I think that they can win the NFC East this year, and this will be a good start for them. My Kansas City Chiefs will be taking on the Houston Texans, and as much as I'd like to circle Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub and those Texans, I got to go with my team, and I got to go with the Kansas City Chiefs to beat the Houston Texans. Tennessee versus Jacksonville, a battle of teams still kind of looking for an identity. You got Vince Young versus David Garrard, but I like Jacksonville in this because A, they're at home, and B, they've got a very good running game with Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew, I think. And David Garrard's not a bad quarterback. He's not a terrible quarterback. Vince Young's going to be improved this year, but he was also on the cover of Madden, which is bad news for him. I'm going to say Jacksonville, pretty close. Atlanta versus Minnesota. Atlanta's got to show me something before I pick them. I'm going to say Minnesota in this game. New England versus the New York Jets. The Jets, I mean, they've got Chad Pennington and not a whole lot else. I'm going to have to go with New England and the team that everybody picks to go to the AFC Championship game, at least. I'm going to go with the New England Patriots in this game. Carolina versus the St. Louis Rams. St. Louis Rams are like the sleeper that nobody's sleeping on, because this is a very good team. I like this team a lot. I think Steven Jackson is a top 2-3 running back in the league. Mark Bulger just got a new contract, and he's very good. You've got Torrey Holt. You've got Isaac Bruce. I really, really like St. Louis, and I especially like them in this game against Carolina at home. Miami versus Washington. I mean, really, does it really matter? Neither one of these teams are going anywhere this year. I will take Washington, though. Detroit versus Oakland. I know my boy Calvin Johnson is on Detroit, but Oakland, you may not remember, they stunk last year, but they had one of the better pass defenses in the league. They were at least top five against the pass. So I'm going to go, it is Oakland, though. I guess it's Oakland. I'm going to take Detroit, but I'm going to say they have to do it on the ground with Kevin Jones in order to get that done. Chicago versus San Diego. This is a great game. This is a great game. A great defense against a great offense. Edge goes to San Diego because they're at home. I'm going to go San Diego over the Bears. Tampa Bay versus Seattle. I like Seattle. And there's not really much more than I have to say about that. It's very hard to win up there in Seattle. And so I'm going to go with Seattle. New York Giants versus the Dallas Cowboys. This is, you know, and I've gone back and forth on this game because I can really see either team winning, and it would not be silly to pick either team. But the problem is, as much as I don't think Tony Romo is a very good elite quarterback, I still think he's better than Eli Manning. And I think that offense is going to do enough to do it. But then, you know, and then again, you go back to the fact that Dallas isn't going to be able to defend the pass, and all Eli has to do is throw it up to Plaxico Burress or Amani Toomer, and they're going to be set. So, oh gosh, if you're going to put me on the spot, I'm going to say Dallas, but it's very grudgingly. I'm not doing this, you know, I'm doing this only because I'm being put on the spot. So Dallas over New York Giants, and you know, but let it be noted that if the Giants win, I won't be shocked. Baltimore versus Cincinnati. Another great defense versus a great offense. I like Baltimore to win this one. But I think they're going to give up more points than they want to. So I'm going to say Baltimore wins something around 24-21, something along those lines. Arizona versus San Francisco on Monday night. I mean, really, who cares? It's Arizona, and any game that involves the Arizona Cardinals shouldn't be paid attention to. I don't know. Anyway, San Francisco wins because Alex Smith is a much better quarterback than Matt Leinart. Anyway, that said, that's all my NFL picks for this week. So, I've got, just to recap, I've got Indy, Denver, Pittsburgh, Philly, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Minnesota, New England, St. Louis, Washington, Detroit, San Diego, Seattle, Dallas, Baltimore, and San Francisco all winning their games on week one. We'll come back next week. Whenever I come back next week, I will make sure that I go over how I did because you know, I owe that to my fans. I owe it to my fans to be held accountable. Anyway, We're going to get to the song of the week right now. Song of the week is by, is kind of a mid-90s song. I figured I'd go mid-90s today. And I'm going to go with a song by Everclear. Everclear is a band you may remember. This is a song called Santa Monica. This is the Teplog. This is the Teplog, but you're listening to the podcast on the Teplog. Whatever you want to say, here's the song of the week. I'm just going to stop talking.
I am still living with your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't want to be your downtime. I don't want to be your stupid game. With my big black boots and an old suitcase, I do believe I'll find myself a new place. I don't.
Hope you enjoyed the tunes. That's Everclear, Santa Monica. It's probably a song you've heard before, but I think it's kind of a, you know, I hate to say that it's an oldie because it was just made in the 90s, but it's a goodie. I like the song. Anyway, now we got to move into college football, and I know everybody's been talking about Michigan's breakdown against Appalachian State, which is ridiculous. However, I do need to talk about my Missouri Tigers, and really America's Missouri Tigers, because that's what they are. They're America's team. Like it or not, they're America's team, and this nation rests on their shoulders. I went to, like I mentioned, I went to the game, the Missouri-Illinois game, on this past weekend, and had a great time, and you can see the pictures posted below here. Had a great time, tons of fun. And it was very cool to go into the Edward Jones Dome, and it really, they just sectioned off like almost like 8 square blocks around the Edward Jones Dome to just a tailgate. And there were tons of people tailgating, and it was just a lot of fun, a very cool atmosphere. But then the game started, and Missouri looked very good. Missouri looked very good at first, and then they started being Missouri. They started being very Missouri-like. And there were times where I was like, you know what, I've fallen for it again. I followed for it again. I had sipped the Missouri Kool-Aid, and I had I'd fallen into the Missouri trap again, the Gary Pinkle trap again. Missouri pulled it out 40-34, long story short, but not before I had about 7 consecutive heart attacks. Now, I don't want to take anything away from Illinois, because Illinois is a fine team. They're an up-and-coming team. They probably lost that game because they're young. If this were 3 years down the road, Missouri probably gets their butts whipped, because they've got a ton of young playmakers on that team. But I need to break down, I owe it to my fans, because I promised in my, I owe it to the readers, because I had promised in the blog that I would break down the game during the podcast, so here we go. The good things that Missouri did. Things that were very good about Missouri's game against Illinois. The quarterback, Chase Daniel, was great. He was just very good. He's a top three quarterback minimum, at least top three quarterback in the Big 12 this year. And he played like it. He threw over 50 passes, but that doesn't matter because he's Chase Daniel and he did just a great job. Great job. So Chase Daniel is one of the high points. The tight ends are another high point. And these are all things that we expected. We expected Missouri to have a great quarterback in Chase Daniel, and we expected them to have two great tight ends in Chase Kaufman and Martin Rucker. Both Martin Rucker and Chase Kaufman were fantastic in the game. They came up with big receptions when they needed them, so they get a good job from me. Also, the safeties were pretty good for Missouri as well. They didn't really blow any coverages. Pig Brown obviously had the game-winning pick, as well as he ran back a touchdown, or he ran back a fumble, that is, 100 yards for a touchdown. So the safeties were pretty good. Here's the bad things, though. And it starts with Gary Pinkle, the coach. That was, it usually takes 2, maybe 3 games for the Missouri offense under Gary Pinkle to be completely predictable. And for me to just say, okay, well, this is what they're going to run, and then they'll run. It'll be, oh, quarterback draw. They run a quarterback draw. Oh, they'll run a 5-yard out. They run a 5-yard out. It usually gets to be about two to three games. It took me 2 to 3 quarters to figure out exactly what Missouri was going to do on every play. They were going to run the same zone read that didn't work. They were going to run the same quarterback draw that didn't work. They were going to run the same 4-yard out on 3rd and 6. That's what they're going to do. And I knew it was coming. Everyone in the building knew it was coming, because Gary Pinkle is just not a good coach. And this was a very poorly coached game. Pinkle got away with it because they won, but this was a very, very poorly coached game. The run defense was atrocious. It was just atrocious. The run defense couldn't stop anybody. And now that's not to take away anything from the running backs that Illinois had, because Rashard Mendenhall is a fine, fine running back. That said, they had no business running over that Missouri defense like they did, be it by their quarterback or by their running back. So the run defense gets a big thumbs down from me, and the biggest thumbs down goes to the run offense. Tony Temple apparently left his game in El Paso because he was fantastic in the Sun Bowl. He was fantastic in the Sun Bowl, and I was so excited to see him just bust out and have a huge year. This game sucked for him. He had like 30 yards. Now, you can blame that on the offensive line. You can blame it on Temple. You can blame it on the play calling. But overall, the running game was a huge disappointment for Missouri. So those are my good and bads that I've got for this week for the Missouri game against Illinois. But they're 1-0, and now they go to Ole Miss, which I'll get to that prediction in a minute. But game's over, thank God, and they won. So hopefully it's just a monkey off the back. Hopefully just a slow start, and they can start rolling from here. Let's get to some college predictions. Just a few very big games this week. Miami versus Oklahoma. A lot of people have this on their schedule as a big game and a possible trap game for Oklahoma. I don't see it happening though. Oklahoma is just a very good ball club, a very well coached ball club. I'm going to say Oklahoma rolls at home. You know, they could win by 3 touchdowns. So I'm going to say Oklahoma. I'm also going to circle that. Circled. Next game, Nebraska versus Wake Forest. This has trap game written all over it. It's kind of a bottom of the barrel ACC team going up against Nebraska. This has trap written all over it. That said, Wake's starting quarterback went out last week. He's doubtful for the game. So because of that, otherwise, you know, I probably would have taken Wake Forest, A, because I don't like Nebraska, and B, because it is a big trap game on the road for Nebraska. But I am going to take Nebraska in this game only because that quarterback's hurt. And now, you know, they'll probably roll all over him. So let's figure that out. Oregon versus Michigan is going to be it's in the Big House, which of course we know. Oh man, I am all over the place. Which of course we know means nothing. The fact that it's in the Big House doesn't mean anything anymore because Michigan just lost to a 1AA school. In the Big House. And I know it's the football championship subdivision. I don't give a crap. It's 1AA. Texas State plays in 1AA. My mom went to Texas State. She will call it 1AA. There you go. Oregon versus Michigan. Watch out for Dennis Dixon, the quarterback for Oregon. He's a very good quarterback. Dangerous with both running and passing. And it's, you know, it's easy to pile on Michigan and say, oh, they're going to lose again. And I am going to pile on Michigan. I'm going to take Oregon. There you go. I took Oregon. Notre Dame versus Penn State. Notre Dame stinks. Notre Dame's going nowhere this year. Jimmy Clausen is going to get the start, and Jimmy Clausen's going to look like a deer in headlights versus this Penn State defense. It's in Happy Valley. I say Penn State wins, and they win big. TCU versus University of Texas. I hate to give it away, but Jacques Taylor, the columnist for the Dallas Morning News, has told me that his column... On Saturday will essentially be put up or shut up TCU, and that's a great point because TCU has been talking all this game saying, hey, we're a big program too, we deserve to be recognized, we should have played in the national championship a few years ago. You know what TCU, here's your shot. TCU versus Texas, you have your shot right now. If you want to be recognized, beat Texas in Austin. Do it. If you want to be recognized, beat Texas. Do it. If you beat Texas, everyone will respect you. Everyone. That said, I'm taking UT to win. So there you go. TCU, put up or shut up. It's time. Virginia Tech versus LSU, a game that everybody's been looking forward to all year. As much as I like to take Virginia Tech for the whole, you know, they deserve to win, they've gone through so much, et cetera, LSU's just a better ball club. I'm going to say LSU wins. Last game of the week that I'm going to go through, Missouri versus Ole Miss. Missouri stomped Ole Miss last year at home. Missouri just, you know, put a whipping on them, took them back to the woodshed. That was kind of an aberration because Ole Miss wasn't bad, and they were in most of their SEC games last year. They're not a bad team. They've got a running back who can play in Ben Jarvis Green. But I still like Missouri to win because I just think Missouri is too much for Ole Miss to handle. Ole Miss is a fine ball club, and they're probably going to go. They might go to a bowl this year. You know, they're a pretty good ball club. I just think that Missouri is going to finally have a wake up call, and I say they beat them by 10 points. 10 points. It'll be close, but I think Missouri wins. So, as far as my predictions go, I say OU wins, I say Nebraska wins, I say Oregon wins, I say Penn State wins, I say Texas wins, I say Louisiana State or LSU wins, and I say Missouri wins. Those are my predictions. That's it for the Tep Plug podcast this week. I certainly hope you've enjoyed listening. Keep checking in on the blog. I'm going to be blogging every day. And that's about it. So, enjoy this weekend of football. It's going to be fantastic. And I will talk to you folks tomorrow on the blog, and I will podcast at you guys next week. So everybody have a great week. Give all your families a hug, and I will talk to you folks later. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Log on every Thursday for a new podcast, and log on every day for a new post on the TEP blog. Until next time, goodbye.